Welcome to the Weekly Green, a KXCI mini program on environmental topics from southern Arizona and the rest of the universe. Today's with us again Michael Ismail, Master Gardener with the Pima County Agricultural Extension and also an instructor for the Pima County Smartscape and owns a local business helping people to grow their own food. Welcome, Michael.
Thanks, Dan. It's great to be here again.
You're an instructor for Pima County Smartscape. What is Smartscape?
The Pima County Smartscape program is part of the University of Arizona Agricultural Extension, which is over on 4210 North Campbell. Its purpose is to provide education on irrigation to residents who are interested in knowing how to design, build, or maintain an irrigation system around their home. What I'm sure a lot of people aren't aware of is that Tucson Water Conservation Department is paying for the education, so it's actually free for you to learn what you need to know to build, own, and operate an irrigation system.
What are the things that people should be thinking about if they want to install or rebuild their irrigation system?
I think the old adage, begin with the end in mind, applies well here. What is my end goal? And perhaps you don't know enough about landscaping to really be sure of the answer to that. And in that case, let me give you some ideas of questions you can ask. Now remember, we get the best answers when we ask good questions. So, is it important to you to save water? Do you want parts of your landscape to be lush and have a variety of different types of plants? Do you want the design and function of the space around your home to create a cooling effect for the house and outdoor space? Do you want a low-maintenance landscape where not much pruning and weeding is required? Are you curious about how the changes you make to your landscape can impact your local ecology?
How would you feed such an irrigation system?
We aren't just having to rely on our drip irrigation systems. We also can be using rainfall through means of what we'd call active rainwater collection and also passive rainwater collection. Now, active is you're storing it in a tank for later use, and passive is that you're just trying to slow that water down using earthworks like berms and basins to get that water to stay on the landscape as long as possible and really soak into the earth. I also should mention gray water systems. This is a method in which you take water that you're using inside your home in your sinks and maybe your washing machine and put that out into the landscape as well. Smartscape is teaching you all of these different methods, whether it comes from the sky or from inside your home or your municipal water through your drip irrigation system.
People who want to learn about all these techniques to landscape in our northern Sonoran Desert can take classes at the Smartscape program with Pima County Extension.
Yeah, the most valuable resource Smartscape offers are these free classes Tucson Water is paying for you to take. You can sign up for them online. The website URL is a bit long, but just do a Google search for Pima County Smartscape and click on calendar on the top toolbar. You'll see on the calendar things like drip irrigation systems workshop. This one, participants get to learn about all the parts and how to put them together by actually teaming up and building an irrigation system in the class. Another one is drip irrigation controllers and scheduling, where you learn about how much to water and how to operate the controller. Here's an important one, the Tucson Water Rebates for Rainwater Harvesting and Graywater System. You can get large rebates for installing these systems, up to $2,000 for rainwater collection and up to $1,000 for graywater. The way you qualify for these rebates is by taking one of the free rebate classes, which are also on the calendar. You can call the extension at 626-5161 and talk to someone if you need assistance signing up for a class. I would recommend signing up even if the classes are full so that we can notify you when someone drops out. And if possible, we will try to add more classes if we are overbooking. These classes fill up really fast.
What is the difference between Smartscape and Xeriscape?
Smartscape is really just the name of this program at Extension, which is all about irrigation education. Xeriscaping is a particular type of landscaping. The concept of xeriscaping came out of a drought in Colorado. The response to this drought was to try and figure out how they could reduce the water that's being used by adapting to the local character, using plants that are more native to that area. Most people imagine this barren wasteland of gravel with a plant here and there when I ask them what xeriscape is. But here's what xeriscape really is. It's a set of guiding principles to help you create a landscape that works with the ecosystem and local climate instead of against it. And they're as follows. Sound landscape planning and design, limiting grass areas, use of water-efficient plants, efficient irrigation, soil amendments, use of mulches, and appropriate landscape maintenance. When you start to learn about how to apply these principles, it quickly becomes clear how simple it all is to implement.
The two most important things to a gardener are light and water. We got plenty of light. What about the water?
Here's one way to look at it. When we are thinking about how much water to apply, we look at something called evapotranspiration. Evapotranspiration is looking at both the combination of water loss through evaporation from the soil and also transpiration, which is the way that water moves through a plant and exits through little stoma, which are cells on the plant's leaves. The plant opens and closes these stoma in order to regulate its temperature. So that's part of the water loss. The average evapotranspiration or water loss for a year is about 77 inches of water, and we get 12 inches of rainfall. That is definitely something that we are trying to manage by supplementing with our drip irrigation systems. We can do that both with municipal water and also with capturing some of the rainwater. Another concept of capturing isn't even necessarily in a cistern, but through these passive rainwater collection means, where we're storing the water in the ground. We're slowing it down and making sure it soaks in so that it's available to the plants for longer without us having to add more water to the landscape.
Could you tell me a little more about the principles of xeriscaping?
One element that we bring in to xeriscape design is something called hydrozones. There are three xeriscape plant zones that we pay attention to. The first is closest to the home, what we call the oasis zone. And this is the area that we want to be the coolest. We want to have the most shade protection for the house. And this is where we would plant our highest water use plants. They benefit quite a lot from the structure because there's a lot of rain runoff that comes off of the structure. This is our highest water use plants. As we move a little further away, we go into the transition zone, transitioning to more desert-adapted plants. And then as we get even further away from that oasis zone, we go into the arid zone. And this is an area where you would want to put plants that maybe only need a little water to get established and then don't need any more supplemental irrigation past that. So we're working with some natural elements of our landscape in order to have plants that are going to do well and not be stressed out by the conditions around them. We want to be limiting turf. It can be appropriate for functional areas to have some grass, but to give you an idea of the impact that it can have removing it, the University of Arizona did some research that showed you can reduce the amount of water you're using in your landscape by 50 to 75% by transitioning from grass in the landscape to a xeriscape type garden. So it definitely has a big impact. The use of water-efficient plants is very important, but that doesn't mean you don't have much to choose from. You know, keep in mind, in the Sonoran Desert, we have 2,000 native species of plants. It's one of the most diverse deserts in the world. So there are plenty of plants that do well here so that you can choose things that fall in line with your tastes and give you the look that you are wanting. Efficient irrigation is certainly important, and this doesn't just mean our municipal water through our drip irrigation systems. This can mean using the other resources that are running across the landscape. This is one of the most important principles because it supports or directly impacts many of the others. Understanding how and why and when to put water in our landscape is very important. It's most common, actually, for people to overwater their landscapes than it is for them to underwater them. We're concerned about our plants. We know it's hot and dry, and we don't want them to suffer. And so we add more water and then more water. The reality is overwatering symptoms look very similar to underwatering symptoms. So now the plants look a little worse. And what do people do? They add even more water. So getting that education on how much water to put down and when is very important. The frequency is very important as well. Some plants need infrequent deep waterings, and frequent shallow waterings can be really bad for some plants, especially trees. From there, we're talking about the soil. Soil amendments, improving the soil where needed can be really important. Sometimes that means breaking down caliche layers, which can be really disruptive in the landscape, and making it difficult for water to infiltrate. And also the use of mulches. people just remove every single little leaf that lands on the ground instead of allowing it to naturally build up as a mulch. You're really taking away what would become food for the soil and food for the plants by doing that, and just paving way for lots of weeds to come in that you're then going to have to also pull out. So it's sort of a paradox. This maintenance of going in and cleaning up leads to more maintenance of going in and weeding, and also isn't really good for the plants. Mulches retain moisture. They block out sunlight for weeds. They add nutrients to the soil over time and habitat for the ecosystem. So they're very important. Landscape maintenance is the last one, and that's really how do you take care of the landscape once it's all installed? How are you interacting with it as a water manager? What decisions are you making with the way that you prune your plants? These principles are all geared towards treating the landscape like a more natural system, starting from the design elements all the way into all of your inputs from water and nutrients and the plants that you choose, and in general, the way that you interact with your landscape.
Seems the heat of summer is upon us. What can people do to protect their gardens and their plants from the sun?
Using good irrigation practices is really an important element of that. A couple tips are really knowing how deep the water is penetrating into the soil. You can get these long soil probes. Really all it is a long piece of metal, and you can push it into the ground. And when it's easy to push in, then the ground is usually moist. And when it comes to resistance, that usually means that it's dry. And so, for example, if we're talking about a tree, they have root depths of 3 feet, then you want to make sure when you water that you're watering all the way down into their whole root zone. And so you'll push that probe in and make sure that the water is penetrating that far. And smaller plants require shallower depth of water because they have shallower roots. So shrubs are usually 2 feet, and these other plants are usually 1 foot. We may need to be increasing the frequency in which we water, but these well-adapted plants don't want to be watered every single day. That's not natural for them. So don't overreact by overwatering your plants. Outside of that, I would mention for vegetable gardens, it can really help, especially for tomatoes, to give them a little shade cloth. A 30% shade cloth can really reduce the intensity of the sun. There's an interesting experiment that the Tucson Community Garden did between this black 30% shade cloth and also just using a white sheet. And it was a significant difference in the temperature under the two. The white sheet actually was much cooler. So there are a couple methods like that where you can reduce the intensity of the sun, especially for your more sensitive plants.
What's your take on the water situation in our region?
We have a system of development in place here that's been in place for some time, and it's based around getting the water out of town as quickly as possible when it rains. In my opinion, this is an ecological disaster. I saw a couple photographs recently that were both taken from the same vantage point along the Rito River. Only one was taken about 70 years ago and the other more recently. It was astonishing to me how different the landscape is now. What is immediately striking is that the valley used to be covered with green and had a significant tree canopy. And now most of that is gone. Also, the river had water in it, but now so much of our surface water has disappeared. One issue this causes is something called a heat island effect. Tucson is now covered in hardscape and gravel, which means it's even hotter. As a result, our monsoon rains will come up from the south and then run into this large hot bubble around the city. Many of the storms dissipate, which means even less rainfall. Instead of pushing all this water out of town, we need to slow it down using earthworks like berms and basins, infiltrating this water into the ground for our plants, creating longer-term evaporation, which of course has a cooling effect on the city, and will also grow back this tree canopy that we're now missing. Reducing this heat island effect, it's really important to the overall ecology and microclimate for this region. It also would reduce our street flooding. Just imagine what it would be like if we prioritize this method throughout the city. It really comes down to just the proper management of our resources. If you look at the way that Native people have lived here for quite some time before our system of development changed the landscape, they were very mindful about the types of things that they planted and the ways in which they slowed the water down and kept it in the landscape. Really, it's just a matter of moving back to a more natural means of valuing these resources and using these permaculture concepts.
There were a whole lot less of them than there are of us now.
Right, which makes it even more important for us to manage this properly. If we are implementing these systems, then it's going to make a tremendous difference, even in the size city that we live in now. And I think that we will start moving back into a landscape that is more similar to what it once was, where there was more greenery, more vegetation, and a lot more surface water.
Thank you very much, Michael.
Thanks, Dan. Pleasure to be here, as always.